Welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast designed for parents on the go.
I'm Dr. Julie Cardos.
And I'm Dr. Naylene Lai.
We are two board-certified pediatricians and parents like you.
Don't have the time or energy to read pediatric advice?
If you're in the carpool line, trying to grab some exercise, or cleaning the house,
plug us in. It's one of the most common reasons we get called in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, you wake up to a sound like a seal is barking in your house. So today we're talking about croup.
And what is this? It's not an actual seal, it's croup. Croup is really common in young kids, typically, you know, older babies and toddlers, but even young school age kids can still get croup. And the sound, if your child has had croup, it sounds really like a seal barking. In fact, if you want to hear a great imitation of a croupy cough, go to junglewalk.com and listen to an actual seal. No kidding, this is exactly what croup sounds like.
What in the world is croup? Croup is actually a cold, but this is a cold that tends to settle a little bit more in your throat, near your voice box. So one of the things that happens, because this cold is in your voice box, you sound like a seal when you cough. The other thing that tends to happen is your kids can be hoarse.
Yeah, in fact, this is Dr. Cardos. In fact, adults get croup, but we don't call it croup. We call it laryngitis. But that's the area that gets inflamed, is the larynx or the voice box. In children, not only do they develop this weird-sounding, croupy cough, but sometimes even when they breathe in, they're breathing through this really narrow part of their airway, and they sound like when they breathe in, and it can be frightening. So we're going to talk today about how to manage croup and how to tell when your child is too sick with croup.
What causes croup? This is Dr. Lai. The main causes are the same causes that cause common colds. I mean, you might have heard of a virus called RSV that can cause croup, something else called parainfluenza that can also cause croup. So the main thing to remember, it is a cold virus, but the part that separates croup out from other colds is that croupy noise, that seal bark. The peak of all that tends to be on the second and third nights, and often it hits in the middle of the night out of the blue.
So, you know, what can we do when our children develop croup? The first thing I always tell my patients' parents is you need to stay calm. Picture yourself, if you are having trouble breathing or feeling short of breath or having a horrible cough, if you're calmer, it's much easier to breathe than if you're crying. So when your child is crying, you need to stay calm and try to calm them down. And then the next trick that often can work is you can try steaming them up, meaning you take your child into the bathroom and you run the shower as hot as you can and you close the door, and then you have a seat on the bathroom floor and you either read a book or you sing a song or you just rock your child. But that breathing that really steamy air seems to shrink some of the swelling in the voice box so that their coughing and their breathing becomes easier for them. There are some other tricks, right, Dr. Lai?
Another way to help your child is to just step outside. For some reason, that cool, misty night air works very nicely to decrease some of that swelling that happens in the throat and in the voice box. Of course, you know, it's cold outside often, so, you know, bundle them up a little bit, but, you know, keep their little head above the scarf and let them breathe in that nice, cool night air. Now, if you want to replicate the cool night air inside, you can use a cool mist humidifier.
We have parents who ask us, well, should we go in the bathroom with the steam or should we use a humidifier in the bedroom? And honestly, both work well. The reason we say hot water shower in the bathroom is because that is very quick to steam up the bathroom. It's the steam, it's the mist, the water vapor that helps. It doesn't matter the temperature of that vapor. So while one parent is in the bathroom with the child, the other parent or someone else in the house can be getting the humidifier ready in the child's bedroom. In the child's bedroom, the humidifier should be a cold mist humidifier, again, because of safety concerns about scalding hot water in a child's bedroom. So they both work great. It's just whichever one you can accomplish first is the one you should start with.
Hi, Dr. Lai again. That's actually steam that's coming straight out of that vaporizer machine. So you have to be very careful with those vaporizers. And that's why it's not recommended anymore for kids to have those in their rooms.
by far and away, most kids, even as scary as they can look initially when you go get them from their bedroom, most kids do not need any other type of intervention. Oftentimes they fall back to sleep, then they might be up a few hours later and you're doing again the whole calming, steaming, maybe they need more Tylenol. But usually croup is 2 to 3 nights of kind of difficulty, but then they kind of settle into a regular old cold and they develop a cough that sounds like a regular cold cough and their runny nose and their runny eyes, and sometimes they can get ear infections toward the end of the, you know, the week or so with this virus.
So what don't we like? Yes. We do not like something called stridor at rest. And what that is just a fancy word for something which Dr. Cardos is going to demonstrate right now.
Okay, so if your child is not crying, but they're just quiet, but again, every time they breathe in, you hear the sound.
So it's an inspiratory sound. This is Dr. Lai again. Often parents will tell us their kid is wheezing, but wheezing is more of an outward noise, which is more of a kind of noise rather than guttural noise of stridor.
If the child is completely calm and yet they persist with this stridor even after you've tried 15, 20 minutes of intervention, this child may need further medical care.
Head to the emergency room with your windows down, and by the time you get there, from all that cool air blowing into your child's face,
sometimes
you can just turn around and go back because they're absolutely fine by that point.
Another thing is that when a child has a coughing fit with croup, it's okay to turn red with coughing. That still means oxygen is flowing and your child is getting plenty of air. But children should not be turning pale or blue with a coughing fit. So if you're seeing those color changes, that child needs emergent medical attention. Another symptom to look for that would dictate that you seek emergency medical care would be if your child can't swallow. So in other words, if they are constantly drooling, they won't take water that you're offering them, and they just seem so uncomfortable they can't swallow their own secretions, that can be a sign that they are in too much distress with breathing.
Signs of what we call respiratory distress. In other words, this breathing is considered labored. If you see nostril flaring at all with every breath, or, and this is something you actually have to lift your kid's shirt up to see. Sometimes they look okay from the head up, but you actually have to look under their shirt. So if you were to take a deep breath in, let's all do that right now. Ready? What happens? Your ribs stick out a little bit, your belly moves in and it moves out. So if you see that with every single breath, the little ribs on your child's going out, in, and the belly going out, in, it means that very tough for your child to breathe in.
For a child who's air hungry is anxious. So again, the reason you're up in the middle of the night with your child is because probably they woke you up coughing and crying. But they should be able to be calmed down. If your child just is inconsolable or seems like they don't recognize you or know who you are, that could be a sign that that child actually needs oxygen therapy. So again, the reasons to be seeking emergency medical care, again, color changes, blue or pale with coughing, unable to swallow their own secretions, obvious work of breathing, you see their ribs, you see their nostrils flaring every time they take a breath, and they're just not thinking correctly.
Also go if you hear stridor at rest.
Okay, one last word about fever. Usually with croup, because it's a cold virus, it usually gives a low-grade fever, maybe a 101-ish, something like that fever, but we don't tend to see the high fevers with croup. So especially if it's been a few days of croup and then suddenly there are some high spiking temperatures, the higher temperatures, we get concerned that maybe there's some bacterial overlay to it.
Okay, so let's wrap up our sticky points about croup. Number one, to remember, croup is it's like a cold virus that happens to cause a seal-like bark, and it would, in an adult, the same germ would probably cause just plain old laryngitis. It tends to get worse at night. We don't know why this is, but the symptoms get worse at night and improve during the day. Typically nights 2 and 3 can be the worst, and then it improves.
Symptoms also tend to emerge after a nap time. So one hypothesis is perhaps the swelling increases a little bit when kids lie down. Just like any other cold, be aware that it can go into a bacterial infection, or in other words, you can have a bacterial infection overlay. So just like any other cold, 5 days into it, 6 days into it, if there's a change in temperature, maybe an ear infection comes along, a sinus infection comes along. So just to be aware.
And then lastly, with croup, that we gave you some tools to intervene and help your child breathe easier, but you need to watch for signs of breathing distress or respiratory distress to know if your child needs emergency medical care.
Do that.
So this concludes our program on croup today. We hope you join us again soon.
Okay, I'm Dr. Julie Cardos.
And I'm Dr. Naylene Lai.
We are two peas in a pod. Right now, our recording studio is our kitchen table, and we depend on you to tell your friends about us.
We are two pediatrician moms who know you have questions after you've left our office.
Think of us as your innovative resource for sound pediatric advice.
Please check out our website, www.twopeasinapod.com. That's peas as in pediatrician, P-E-E-S.
We hope to use these podcasts to help answer your questions and to make you more confident parents.
Thank you for listening.